Sophia Minard.
And that right there means baseball at its best.
And now, leading off for your Milwaukee Brewers,
Valley Sports Wisconsin's Sophia Minard.
Sophia Minard, it's always, and what a great day to talk about the Brewers. Christian Yelich with a home run. Good afternoon, Sophia.
Hi, Homer. How's it going, Tony?
It's going awesome.
Yeah, they need some hitting. Can we first get her
percentage
on Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. If they change, because as you know, Sophia, he did not show up to voluntary OTAs, which he always does.
Yes, and Sophia does not remember.
You're currently
at 20% chance
that Rodgers. Would you like to drop that or raise it?
Well, I do want to mention that Josh Sitton at 100%. Thomas at 95%.
We don't need to mention any of that stuff.
I want to give her appropriate information.
The only information she needs is that he didn't show up for the OTAs.
Can I ask her if she had a good weekend?
Or is that,
you should, yes.
Oh, she's doing something else. She's getting
I got distracted. My percentage has not changed.
Even though he didn't show up to something that he always has.
That is correct.
I wasn't expecting him to show up, considering the circumstances.
Correct. Okay.
Were you expecting Christian Yelich to hit a home run yesterday?
That she was.
I was.
I don't know. You hear when you're close, somebody's swinging well. They've just kind of been unfortunate, or he's still struggling and he's still trying to find it. Where did you think Christian Yelich was? Not even looking at maybe the stats in games.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that he has felt good enough to be out there every day, right? I mean, I think you expected there to be a little bit of a lapse in the timing. I don't think you could expect him to come up after essentially doing a start and stop for 6 weeks. I don't think it would be fair to expect results right away, but I think you could see the at-bats getting better. He was starting to draw more walks. And then I think yesterday it all kind of came together for him. It was, three at-bats of hard contact. Finally got an RBI single. Then he finishes the day with the home run, which was a no-doubter. So I think all of those things are a good sign.
Are they going to work him in slowly, though, or is this going to be full bore?
Yeah. No, they will. They'll continue to be cautious with him. He's not going to be in the lineup tonight. And Craig Counsell had said as much. They'll continue to be cautious with him this week. He had the benefit that when he came off the IL, he was able to DH for 2 days in Kansas City, then had an off day, then was able to play 3 games in Cincinnati. So that's a good sign. I think he'll be off today, most likely in there tomorrow. I'm sure he's available off the bench. So I think this is just part of their plan, just considering what he's gone through to start the season.
And what is their plan to start getting some better offense going? I mean,
Adamez. They got their guy. He's had some juice in the locker room. I think he is the general manager, smart and tough guy. I think it will be looked at as a great addition, both for what he does on the field and also his kind of mojo as a person. Sophia, am I anything close to accurate?
No, I think that's very accurate. I think they really value how he's performed on the big stage. They value the defensive skill set. We saw him come up with some good at-bats the last 2 days in Cincinnati. And by all accounts, I think the word that you hear most often describing him is just energy. He seems to just have great energy, great confidence, likes to keep things loose, likes to have fun. One of those guys that always has a smile on his face.
Kind of like Arcia was, or not?
Avi Garcia said as much,
They're regretting
Avi
that trade?
Him in Tampa. Okay. No, I didn't say that. I just said they're similar.
No, I didn't say you were sad. I said maybe is there a tinge of, maybe we shouldn't have got rid of the fan favorite.
It's a great question to ask Sophia about the shortstop. Take us back to, the beginning of last year, their thoughts, and has everything has transpired?
Well, that position has been a big storyline for them, right? Yeah. Going back to, when they acquired Urias in the trade, and then going back to spring training of giving both of them the opportunity. They wanted Luis to have the best opportunity to take over that job. They knew what they had in Orlando, and they didn't know as much as what they had in Luis Urias because of just how his season went last year with the hand injury and COVID, and he did end up still playing in 40 games, but he bounced around a lot between second and third and even short. So, you know, they made a commitment to him, and they still think he's going to be a really valuable piece. But now with Adames, you know, Arias is going to be that guy that moves around the infield.
And they're bringing back Keston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually just had a chance to speak with him. So he seems really confident, and he feels like he figured things out in AAA. Certainly the results back that up. He posted some big numbers while he was there in a week or so. So I think he feels really good, and more importantly, I think he addressed some of the bad habits that he got into, and he feels like he found the keys to get himself right if he finds himself slipping back into those.
I thought it was where they were just giving him the high fastball and he was struggling with that. How accurate is that, and what did he say in terms of how or what he figured out?
Well, I think for him it's just like his swing path wasn't in a good position. So that's why you didn't see the slug, you didn't see the extra base hits, you didn't see the hard contact that you're used to seeing from him. So, you know, we missed all of that, right? And he was missing pitches even in the middle of the zone and the high fastball, like you said, that typically he's able to do damage on. So, I mean, again, we've talked about this with Keston, you know, over the course of the parts of three seasons, it's essentially amounted to one full season in terms of the number of games that he's played. He's right at 160, 170. At the major league level, but that's in parts of 3 years. So it's been kind of choppy for him. And even he said earlier today, this was really the first time where he struggled. He knew what was wrong. He could see what was wrong. He just didn't know how to fix it. And so I think that's where the time in AAA was really valuable for him to address some of those habits.
So did they say, is he in the lineup? Is he going to be at, short?
He's in the lineup today at first base.
Oh, it's at first. Oh.
Tony, you're going to think this is really a crazy idea, but I'm going to throw it to
Go ahead.
Well, you've seen the movie Trouble with the Curveball. It's one of my favorite movies with Clint Eastwood. You know the movie, right? Oh, she's getting more information. No, get the information you need to get, and then when you can come back and join us, let us know.
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
It is Trouble with the Curveball. Isn't that what Clint Eastwood plays the scout and...
Haven't seen it.
I've not seen it.
You haven't seen it, Sophia? Oh, man. You got to see it.
This movie's probably too old for her.
No, it isn't.
She's a young girl.
It's Justin Timberlake is in it. He's fantastic. What's the girl, Adams?
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
She's
Amy
in
Adam.
It. It is out. Anyway, they addressed a kid who was struggling because, in Clint Eastwood, the old scout, says that's because he's got family thing. He hasn't seen his family. Bring his parents up. And I thought, how much do people think that his situation with his mom was part of the struggles of Keston Hira?
Well, he did have time to go home and, you know, spend some time with his family, and especially his mom. She's still undergoing chemotherapy. And, you know, for him, it was a big deal just to be able to spend Mother's Day with her. I mean, that's something that a baseball player, they just don't get the opportunity to do that over the course of a season, you know, as long as you're playing. So for him, it was probably going back to high school, maybe, you know, the fact that he was able to spend a couple of days at home with his mom and his dad and his sister and just have that time to get away. And he said, you know, it wasn't a vacation. He was still working out. He was still working on hitting. But just being able to spend some of that downtime with his parents was a big deal for him. And I think, you know, he also said that his mom got just as much out of it as what Keston did. So I think it was great for him to have that time. And he said he was really grateful that he got that time.
Talking with Sophia Minert, your top two favorite baseball movies of all time?
Oh, gosh. Well, Major League and Major League and the Sandlot.
Sandlot. Ooh.
I think that Trouble with the Curve will be number three when you watch it.
Okay. I will report back to you on that.
I know you
will.
Really?
Wow.
I can't believe you haven't seen that. Wow.
What's going on with my guy? You know, I'm not a baseball guy. I didn't know if you still knew that, Sophia, with my great
Tatis
questions.
Tatis and bat
my
flips.
Great questions I asked you. I got my guy in town tonight, Tatis Jr.
He's very good.
He is good.
Mm-hmm. He's quite good, yeah.
Yeah. What's
and they're playing incredibly well too.
Right now.
What's your thoughts on this series?
Well, this is going to be a great test for them. You know, I think San Diego is coming off of a 9-game winning streak. You know, they swept their homestand. They're finally fully healthy. They had a COVID situation where they were without some of their big position players, but they got everybody back now, and Tatis has just been hitting the cover off the ball. He's in the lineup tonight. So there's power up and down that lineup. It's definitely going to be a challenge for them. But I think you feel good that you've got Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns lined up. So it's going to be a fun series.
How much did the Brewers, or do they admit to having give up in the bullpen in order to get Adames? Was that, hey, we have to do this? Because, as I said, I think of David Stearns as a smart guy, but tough. There's certain things that just got to get done, or they're going to make a move, and they made another one. How severe do they feel they had to lose in the bullpen to get this done, or is that overstating?
I wouldn't say severe, but I mean, obviously you don't like to lose major league talent, but that's the price to acquire major league talent, right? You acquired two major leaguers, so that's the price of acquiring them. And I think, you know, J.P. Feiereisen had been such a bright spot for the bullpen to start the season. He, you know, gave up some runs in his last two appearances, but what he did the first month was just exceptional. And he became sort of the setup man to Devin Williams in tight games. And then Drew Rasmussen as well, I think he performed really well. It took him probably a week or two or a handful of appearances to really get comfortable. But I think you saw the confidence continue to grow. He was pitching in some high leverage situations, picked up a save as well. I mean, you know, these are two really quality young arms that pitched really good innings and high leverage innings for this team. But, you know, you have to give up good talent to acquire other talent. So that's kind of what they had to do to make this move.
Who's the seventh inning guy right now?
Probably Brad Boxberger. But I think any number of guys could go in that role.
So we're there in the process now of figuring out who that is.
Well, I think it's going to be different guys. It's not going to be an assigned role.
All right. Anything else that we need to know that we
got one question, Sophia. Mm-hmm. What's the seventh inning guy? I don't even know what that means.
The guy that pitches the seventh inning.
Yeah, though it's
not really an assigned role.
What if one of the starters are going good? They're still not going to pitch the seventh inning. Just because it's the seventh inning? What? What about all these no hitters going on? Come on, guys are going nine innings now.
Explain it to him, Sophia.
I think you can explain that, Homer.
All right. Thanks, Sophia.
Thanks, Sophia.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. No,
she just blew me off. You hear that?
No.
She goes, Homer, just explain it to them.
Well, they have Williams in the eighth, Hader in the ninth, so they feel like if they can get to the eighth inning, they're going to win 90% of the games if they're ahead, because those two guys are so good.
So why do you got to have a seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guy?
Well, yeah, they tend to find a guy they like in the seventh inning and feel like if you can feel that way after six innings,
baseball was pitcher-friendly. And
right, it is.
Why aren't guys going... What's all these no-hitters?
Well, they would let some guys go a little bit longer, but it's all about the percentages and how long guys go. So in some situations, they go longer.
More reasons not to like. I got a ninth inning pitcher.
The seventh inning guy isn't as important as the eighth or ninth inning guy, but they, you know, you'll see the same guy.
So the starter goes how many innings? Six?
So other than they have two great guys or three that sometimes game more than that, but
you got four pitchers a game. It's terrible.
They get ahead,
and they can only pitch every how many days?
The bullpen guys pitch a great deal, and in fact, when they don't pitch, then they say, "Well, they're not pitching well because they haven't worked out a month." So she didn't want to get into the debate of yes, the seventh inning guy isn't like the eighth or ninth, but they've built to that where they have a guy there, and they feel like. In the games when they don't have their aces, that, hey, if we can get to the seventh and maybe the seventh or certainly the eighth, we're going to win the game. So 1-800-990-3776. Did I explain it well?
No. Sorry.
Next.